Hey, Dr. Drew here, and this is just a reminder that the discussions here are not a substitute for medical care or medical evaluation. This is purely for entertainment and education. We hope you learn something, but see your doctor, get proper medical care.
You're listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky and me, Mike Catherwood.
That's right. We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening.
You live.
And this is the You Live. Hashtag You Live, everybody. Emily Morris, we got the team back together. Mm-hmm. Emily Morris sitting across from me.
The band is
unbelievable.
Back together.
It's the whole gang.
Oh,
the Love Line
amazing.
Gang. The You Live gang.
I feel very so exciting. Goy.
Reminder, thank you so much for subscribing to the show. It means a lot to us here. And we appreciate seeing the ratings grow regularly. But listen, if you download a podcast and don't listen to it, we don't get the credit. So please at least let everyone listen to it.
Just press play as best
and
you do can. Something else.
Like a yeah, shot. There you go.
Is that true?
Yes. It's a whole new thing.
It's a whole new thing. And we depend on those downloads to support the podcast. And again, this is Hashtag You Live, me and Mike. Now, Emily Morris in here. Get some business out of the way. YouTube channel. Go to YouTube Dr. Drew and see the live videos and podcasts there. Subscribe. Also, like us on Facebook. And I think some of you are on Facebook Live right now. Facebook.com/DRDREW or Facebook.com/ThisLifePodcast. Last week, I had Russell Brand on.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was very. I know Mike doesn't like Russell so much, but he
why
did.
Why do you keep saying that?
He did a good job. He did a great job.
It's a high bar for
we
him.
Did a live talk LA show together. It's available. I think it's available now for all to see. Find the channel and the videos on drdrew.com. Be sure to download the podcast. We have a family podcast we have there. And I want to thank our sponsor, Hydrolite. And Emily is even a Hydrolite user
think,
and fan.
Drew, I was going to talk to you. I think I'm addicted to Hydrolite.
There is no such thing. Thank goodness.
Oh, thank God. I didn't ask you that. Like,
Hydrolite,
oh,
I keep telling people this. I wanted to invent this. I had this product in my mind, which was a fizzy tablet that is equivalent replacement, electrolyte replacement to an IV therapy. And so all this business of going on IV vans and stuff like that, nonsense.
It's the same thing. I drink it before I go to bed every night. I drink it every day when I wake up.
Susan,
I don't
do you
have
get
headaches.
Her on this? She sounds like you.
No, when I don't have it, I'm like, where's the Hydrolite? Mm-hmm. In my office? We have to find it, and then I hide it away from everyone so they don't take it.
I use a Jizzy tablet.
Also,
it's similar, but
Hydrolite banner with it fizzes. 30% discount for those vendors on the Amazon site. Also, if you click through at our Amazon banner, particularly for Hydrolite. Also, our friends at Alliant.edu. It is California School of Professional Psychology, an amazing place. They produce great professionals. Do check it out if you have any thought of going into any aspect of mental health. They have all different kinds of programs. And again, support our sponsors so we can bring you more of these podcasts. Now we can begin our show. Mike, what's the matter? You got a puss. Mike's got a puss from the beginning.
Since I walked in,
yeah.
I thought he'd be really excited.
I am excited.
Uh-huh. What's going on, Mike? Do you want to
Let's have a conversation. I would imagine that that's what people want to hear if, you know, when us three are back together.
Yeah, but, you know, but it always starts with you talking about something that you're upset about, oftentimes.
I'm upset about this weird reaction to the Harvey Weinstein situation.
The fact that it's getting so, it's going too absurd, would you say?
Yeah. Well, Rose McGowan went there almost immediately. She went to crazy. And listen, it's very dangerous that for the sake of protecting the sexually abused and women who are oppressed by powerful men, women by and large need to start paying attention to what they continually support. Nobody wants Harvey Weinstein to get any type of special treatment or sympathy. The guy's a predator, and the women that he abused, they probably will never be perfectly okay. It's something that will live with them forever. But because of that, it doesn't mean that it should be an open season floodgate attack on all straight men that have ever been in Hollywood. Now it's like, oh, Oliver North sniffed my titty once. Oliver Stone.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I understand that part, but I don't have a problem with like Rose McGowan and everyone coming out against Harvey Weinstein because we elected a president who had similar allegations and no one cares. These
You're
things happen
my point.
All the time.
What I'm not saying I have a problem with Rose McGowan coming out against Harvey Weinstein.
But if there's awareness,
that was something
I understand
that she should
the
have
problem
done.
Is coming out.
She should have done
what
a long
she's
time
done
ago.
Now
she
is that have. She came out against Harvey Weinstein. Everybody went, that was very brave, that applauded, justifiably. So now she's like, oh, and by the way, there was a guy at Amazon who I told about it, and he didn't do enough. And then there was a guy that I had craft services with in 1993 when I was on, you know, the set of Sin City.
I understand, but now there's awareness, and then hopefully there's a lot of guys in this position who are going, huh, you know, I've kind of done some things that are kind of sketchy. I've had some complaints, and maybe I should look at myself and get some help right now. So if this is what it takes for people to, you know, some guys look over their shoulders and think maybe I should change, I have no problem with it.
Yes. Okay. If this is a catalyst to overall kind of recognition that guys should treat women with respect, yes, totally. I agree. But now there is a huge group of people, you know, look at the Ben Affleck situation, the Jason Momoa situation, where it's like, hey, you've said some things that could potentially be looked at as degrading to women. Ben Affleck was a drunk 24-year-old who probably banged seven chicks on the way to that interview. And because some Canadian talk show host, who, by the way, didn't seem to be
she was encouraging it.
Yeah, she didn't seem to be in any way not enjoying it.
You think she asked for it?
No.
No, not asked for it. But she it's – you know how when Mike says horrible things and you giggle?
Yeah.
That's why I tell you not to giggle. Just go, hey, it bothers me to say anymore. That.
Poop's but, not funny as much. No. Yeah.
Listen, never in my life have I – and I do say gross and offensive things to women for the sake of, you know, getting a laugh. Never once have I ever been doing an interview and been like, why don't you just come sit on my lap? I've never put my hands on any woman in a way that she wouldn't
and
like.
And to be fair, you've never you know where the line is. But my point is he says stuff that shouldn't be encouraged and people giggle at him because he's Mike. And it's like nobody should get away with things that make you uncomfortable.
I didn't know about this Mike campaign that we weren't just
– No, it's not about Mike.
I get it. I'm kidding. But I didn't know I wasn't supposed to laugh. I know what you're saying. I'm saying overall – I know I've had to deal with this. I used to work in politics in my 20s, and it was just part of the
job.
Well,
how come those scumbags aren't – hey, how come those scumbags aren't being outed? You've got some stories. I think you ought to tell them. It's time. It's time.
No, but see, that's unfair.
Wait, no, it's not unfair.
It is unfair.
It's unfair to let those guys go and behave like that and have behaved like that as long as they did.
A lot of them are like not even alive anymore.
A lot of them are in positions. A lot of them are significant positions of authority right now.
They weren't like grabbing my boob. They were calling me. They're married. They're calling me in my hotel room if we were on like a trade mission, and it wasn't cool. Or I'd go to lunches with people, and they'd say, you know, my wife's out of town. This would just happen to me in my 20s. All that could still happen. And I didn't have any other women to talk to about it. It was my friends and I would kind of joke like, yeah, it's kind of part of it. He thinks I'll sleep with him. I never will. Maybe we'll do some business together.
Here's another thing. If Emily doesn't want to come forward, she's not being weak or succumbing to fear. She doesn't want to have this Michigas in her life.
With it, right.
And it's her choice not to. You know?
I thought it was part of doing business. Like, okay, this guy's going to flirt with me. I'll laugh off his comment about wanting to go back to his hotel room and the fact that he's married. I mean, it would happen all the time.
Well, you said you have no one to talk to about this, but we have one for you. We have
who?
Tawny Kitaen.
Oh,
Tawny, come on in here. Help Emily out.
When I was younger, I'd know one. Now I have everyone.
I'm guaranteeing Tawny's had some encounters with some gross guys in Hollywood.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Tawny.
You know what? I mean, you might find this very interesting, but I really haven't.
Really? What?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
My wife said the same thing.
Oh, it's breaking up. Or I'll put,
your wife's never had a guy flirt with her inappropriately.
She's had horny guys
grabbing her.
She's like, never had some guy like even insinuate, blow me and you get this job. Or, you know, some of the stuff that is detailed in the Harvey Weinstein stuff, my wife's like, by the way, Harvey's been an insufferable prick to me. But never anything like this. It's just, and by the way, listen, I've experienced it, but from a gay dude. I was like, yeah, come on. First off, I'm straight. Right. Secondly, stop it. Get away.
I had a guy say to me,
there you are.
If you give me
we've been unable to hear you, but now we can hear you. Go ahead. Oh, now we can't.
Okay, you can hear me now.
There.
Okay. I was going to say this. Yes, this has happened to me, but this has not happened to me in any casting couch form at all. One time has this happened to me. And I knew coming into, because I knew we were going to be talking about this today. And I thought, oh my God, for a second, I thought, oh my gosh, what? No one found me attractive? Nobody ever did this to me?
Rest assured, that's not true.
I don't, I mean, I don't, what?
I said, rest assured, that's not true. I guarantee every guy that was within a 100-mile radius of you had a rock hard bone.
Don't giggle.
Thank you. And I'm sure my dad listening to this right now is probably going to
Him included. Yeah. It just wasn't for you.
Yeah. Oh God, that is disgusting. But anyway, this is that yes, it happened to me. I don't know I can't hear it. In my real life, but it has never happened in terms of a casting couch, of getting a job. It has always been, and I knew absolutely nothing to do with that, and it was a dating situation.
Date rape kind of thing?
We have to do something.
He was trying to, just like, I mean, listen, do you really think that Harvey did that to Georgina? Do you think that he did that to his first wife? He treated me like he tried to court me, and he never, ever was anything but a gentleman with me. I'm not saying, I mean, and I don't really know in what contents to put that in, because I'm hearing all these absolutely gorgeous women that are 10 times more beautiful than myself that he actually did this to, but he never did this to me. He was, like I said, an absolute gentleman. And as a matter of fact, I was in the hospital. I got bronchitis and I was there for 6 days, and every single day he would go to Spago's and he would get, I had a craving for escargot, and he would get my escargot and come and sit with me in the hospital. For hours
at a time. As anyone who's been in the hospital.
Right now.
And he was a gentleman. And he just, and this was at the beginning, him and Bob never got along. So he would always complain about Bob, his brother, as you know. And this was at the very beginning at Miramax. And they were powerful, but they weren't quite that powerful. So I don't know if he just, if this was something that he started like years later, because I was around 22, 23. So he must have been, what, 29,
like
30?
25, 30 years.
Yeah, it could be either progression of something like alcoholism. It could be figuring into this, right, mm-hmm. or pills or something. We just don't know yet. Or sex addiction does progress, and so does power and control stuff.
I think you can sense a good victim.
But
I think
would you put Lawrence Yvonne in that category? I wouldn't.
He probably didn't know her at all.
That's
the point. He had a chance to kind of see Tawny, get to know her. I do think that there's some sixth sense by victims and perpetrators where they can just know each other. Just like chicks who have alcoholic dads.
Yeah.
They
find alcoholics.
They get into dudes that, you know?
I think that it was like, seemed like every woman he met, who even women he hadn't met, and he was like, come to my hotel room, like a 19-year-old model. I mean, don't you think it was more about eroticized aggression?
Oh, absolutely.
Than it is.
Eroticized power control.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The stuff he did to Lawrence Yvonne was so bizarre.
Yeah, well, Drew and I were talking about it yesterday, that I totally understand being hot for all these girls. I'm the grossest, horniest dude ever. I have no understanding of how you would in any way be stimulated by having a girl watch you masturbate and forcing yourself on a girl.
But it's like power and control.
Right.
Yeah, but for a normal person, it's the opposite.
No, I get it. For most people, right.
Hey, let me put out a phone number. People want to participate. It's 323-649-8268. 323-649-8268. We'll have to take calls. Tawny, you were trying to say something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Drew, do you really think, I mean, for those 2.5-3 weeks that he was, I mean, I liked him. I thought he was a really nice guy, but I was, you know, being courted by all these gorgeous rock stars, and Harvey just wasn't my type, but he was really nice and such a gentleman to me. Do you think that
uh-oh.
I just wasn't the girl that he, like Mike said, that he sensed that,
no.
that he was.
Maybe it's
was
someone
no
else coming
go.
Later.
I think he hadn't gotten fully into this behavior pattern.
He wasn't powerful enough yet.
Yeah, I think this behavior pattern started later.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. But like you said, I mean, maybe really, do you think this behavior starts when you get older? You don't think maybe there was like maybe when he was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe
no,
he was
I just,
11?
I think so. That he became one of the most powerful, influential men in Hollywood history. And at that time, he probably didn't have that feeling of invincibility. And by the time he reached the late 90s, he was, without question, one of the most powerful guys that has ever been in Hollywood, and probably got to the point where he didn't even sense reality anymore, where he just had harems of women that are going to say yes. And
maybe. I don't know. It feels a little more
like there's some really core stuff going on.
Childhood. I mean, he hasn't had any therapy. He hasn't done any work on himself. Right. I mean, listen, he's got to do a deep dive. So
I'm not
going
to
say that he's in sex addiction right now, but hopefully they're going to be unpacking all of this stuff from childhood.
Yeah,
parents.
That's what they do. That's
near qualified to say that he doesn't have some core issues that may have been with him since birth or that were from his upbringing. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that it gets that's only the fuel. The fire is the fact that you become a multi-millionaire who has thousands of women a year telling you, "I'll do whatever it takes for me to get into your radar." It's like, I have friends that are professional athletes. The way they treated women in high school is wildly different than it was when they became multimillionaires that could have a different woman every night.
And by
your
the way,
sense of reality
why
becomes
we,
completely.
Why aren't we focusing in on populations of people that really are outliers of this kind of behavior too, like professional athletes, like politicians? When's that good conversation going to come?
Normal people.
I think
there
it's
are
coming
normal
now.
Guys
I think it is
don't
coming.
Have power at all that do this type of stuff to women all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're missing the point here. I don't really think. I mean, yes, power has a lot to do with thinking that you're able to get away with it. But something similar happened to me, and it was not by a man who had some power, but didn't have. I had more power at the time than he did. So I don't think this is just a subject of powerful men. I think to say that it's just that is leaving out all the creeps that don't have any power.
Sure. No. We're specifically not ruling everybody else out. What we were trying to make sense of is the specific behavior of cornering somebody in a hallway and then self-pleasuring on them and that how that is somehow sexual or satisfying. And that's his move. Several women. Lauren Savant told Mike about that a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and
that was
Janice Dickinson.
Okay. We were but on the air we were talking about Roger Ailes, ironically enough, and so nothing to do with this scandal. This was like about a year ago, and Lauren Savant was filling in for Dr. Drew. We're on the air talking about Roger Ailes. She's like, "Yeah, it's funny. I work for Fox News. I do some correspondence work. Roger's been nothing but a complete gentleman to me. He's actually helped me in my career. He's never in any way made me feel creepy, never had any sexual advance towards me." And then I was like, "Wow, I've actually heard that from a couple other ladies that I know." Blah, blah, blah. Get off the air. We go to commercial. She's like, "You know who has?" I go, "What?" She tells me a story. I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
He beat off in a potted plant? You got to be F." And so, but she's like, please keep
don't
that
tell
to yourself
anybody,
because
right,
don't I
tell
don't. And I was like, "Of course, I would never." And sure enough, as soon as I saw the accusations, I was doing the countdown. I was like, "I wonder if Lauren's going to come forward." And sure enough, she did. I was really happy for her. I felt like really almost like in some way
proud
tangentially, I felt like I could almost sense her vindication and that feeling of acceptance and tolerance. And she probably that own personal
justice.
Right. But it's not even
it's
about justice. It's that,
too. She's been carrying it around.
I just know that for me, and it's way different for a guy. I'm sure the feeling of being submissive is so much more – it's amplified when you're a woman. But I just know for me that when you're abused and when you have some type of traumatic experience at the hands of another person, there's some internal turmoil that you want to get approval for, that to know that at some point, you are not – it's not your fault. It wasn't your fault that so-and-so happened. And I'm guaranteeing that the moments after she went public with that, sure, was she scared shitless because this guy's so powerful? Totally. But she probably internally felt really good about herself because finally, for once,
empowered.
She didn't have to do that internal debate of, well, was I giving off a vibe? I deserve
exactly.
It?
So that's
know?
Why I think that mostly what's happening right now I think is actually a good thing because there's awareness and that people are understanding what's
listen,
happening and they're not going to take
it. Because we have millennials, I'm telling you, they're scared crapless. They're afraid to talk to women, especially if they've had a drink. They're scared to death or if the woman's had a drink.
But that's my point, Emily, and at the beginning of saying this, if more awareness is raised for men abusing women, oppressing them, that's fantastic. What I am seeing right now, though, is signs that there is people are looking at Harvey Weinstein and men of his ilk as a way to say, "Hey, if a horny guy hits on me, that's abuse. He needs to go down." And there's a big difference between what Harvey Weinstein did to Lauren Savant and other women, and what in a vacuum, let's say that never existed, and what he did to Tawny is another example of I'm sure that's what pretty much all guys do. to girls that look like Tawny Katane. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want there to be an assault on horny straight men for the sake of being horny straight men.
Issue. Right. Okay, so that stuff's going to fade away, the noise. But I think ultimately it's the Harvey Weinstein thing who clearly is guilty of everything that has happened. So that's the bigger
one. I mean, probably.
I don't want to be judging jury.
Listen, at the very least, we could say he's guilty of doing something that isn't okay.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I trust what Lawrence Vaughn told us. She is a straightforward person. So he did something there. Tawny, we'll go back to this topic, but Tawny, you wanted to
talk about good men.
Talk about dating, right?
You'd like to talk about nice men, finding good men. Right?
Uh-oh.
She's like, I'm out.
She froze.
I wanted to say what?
Something about dating.
No, wait. No, I'm sorry. I did not hear.
Dating.
Can we help you find some good men?
Dating. Can you help me with dating? Is that what you just said?
Yes.
That's Emily's expertise.
What was the question?
Did you want to?
It is.
Yes. Do you want to ask any questions about that?
What's going on?
Oh my gosh, Emily, where are all the good men? First off, where are all the good men?
Yeah, where are you looking?
That's a good question. My girlfriend's joke with me all the time that FedEx isn't going to bring them.
That's true. Because they're not going to be dropped down your chimney if you're staying at home.
I don't know. My FedEx guy is really hot.
But Dr. Drew, you know this. I don't drink. I've never drank. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go stand at a bar. And besides, I don't want to meet a guy at a bar. Because what's he looking for? He's probably looking for sex. And I'm too much of a prude. I'm going to say this. I've never had a one-night stand in my life.
Right.
Maybe I'll put it on my bucket list and I'll have one before I die. But I haven't. And so there's two things I don't do. I'm not going to sleep with you on the first night. And I don't drink.
That's cool. So, but do you leave your house? Do you ever leave your house and do things that are outside of your comfort zone? Meaning... Going to a friend's party, you know, going out with people that you like. I feel like the men that I've met and most of my friends, it's through other friends. So saying yes to certain invitations, you're not in the mood to go out, but maybe they've got some nice people there that I'll meet. And then you let people know you're single and then they think they meet someone. I mean, that's a great way to do it. Just saying like once a week, even I'm going to say yes to something, go to this barbecue, go to this dinner, go to this event and put yourself out there.
That's really good advice.
Not going to ring your doorbell.
Live your life. Like, it's just like happiness, Tawny. I mean, I'm sure that you searched that early on in recovery. I know that was a big thing for me. And I remember an old timer telling me once, he said, happiness is going to come to those who are too busy to look for it. And what he meant was that happiness is really a byproduct of going and doing your thing. It's not something to search for. And I really feel like romance is the same thing. Like, if you're going out there, and guys do it as well, but I think oftentimes women do it more, where their goal, their end game is meeting Mr. Right, and that can't be the thing. You just got to go and be the best Tawny Katane possible, and eventually Mr. Right's going to kind of come into your ethos.
Yeah, Michael, I've been single for almost 14 years now. So my end game has not been every day, 365 days a year.
Sure.
Waiting for Mr. Right to come along.
Well, also, I feel bad because I'm sure raising children puts a big crimp on your romance,
it,
you know?
It really does. And then all of a sudden, my first child left for college and I started going, oh my God, I have one left and she's going to be gone and now I'm going to be alone.
Yeah.
And also, I've got to tell you, and Emily, tell me if you think I'm right.
Okay.
Men are intimidated. A lot of men don't just have the gravitas to come up and go, hey, and the guys that do are the ones that I really don't want to go out with anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
guys that do are always a little bit
some men might be intimidated, but you can start talking to guys as well, and you can tell pretty quickly, you know, who you wouldn't want to date and who you would.
Absolutely. Like, Dr. Drew, you know, down here in Newport Beach, every guy is driving a Lamborghini. They've got diamonds on their watches. You pull up in one of those cars, strike one, you're out.
Yeah, you've Tommy, got diamonds on your watches. Loose-fitting Tommy Bahama.
Like, I do not like flashy guys.
Maybe
at
it's
all.
Outside
I don't
of Newport
like guys
Beach.
That drive sports cars. I don't, because I think it's mentally says a lot about them. And I know that I'm generalizing.
Should choose an app, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, have you done that? Well, have you done the dating apps?
Yeah, I have. And then I get, God, do you know who you look like?
Oh, I thought he was asking me. Yeah, I know, but that's okay.
Who?
Yeah, I try to go under a different name.
You
True. You know who you look like? They go Tawny Katane.
Yeah, Tawny Katane.
Oh, exactly.
But Bumble's good because I like Bumble because the women.
Subject.
Yeah, I was like, wait, Bumble is who you know. You make the first move when you make a match with someone, so you have to send the first message. I just feel like if you're single today and you're like, I can't find anybody. you got to be dating online. You just should. And you don't have to leave your house for that. And you can set up dates and you can talk to someone on the phone and kind of pre-screen them.
Well,
and then let everyone know you're single. Not in like a desperate, oh my God, fix me up with someone, but the people that you know and trust and love, your community, your family.
Here's the thing about dating online now.
Meet someone.
And what has separated from dating online, say, when I was single, where you I'm not trying to talk shit, but you definitely looked at it as something for desperate people, you know, 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Now it is totally not. And the reason is because of how you can gear it. You know, Tawny Katane should be on a dating site geared towards grown-ass men who definitely probably have children of their own.
Yep. Teach her about this site you're just
Raya
talking about.
Raya is like the celebrity site. I mean, you need someone to recommend
you. Have to get approved,
you.
Right?
You get approved and someone has to refer you. Yeah.
And what's the name? What's it called?
It's called Raya. I think it's R-A-Y-A.
R-Y-A. Yeah.
You could definitely get on.
Yeah.
Raya?
I know bootleg-ass bitches to get on, so I know you're
I'm not on it, no. But I feel like you could get on that.
Have Susan text it to me?
Yes. There's lots of tools out there. So the fact that you even know now and that you're ready, I feel like you just have to, you know, make those efforts. Maybe get outside Newport Beach.
I feel also, Tawny, you sound, you know, I know you pretty well. You sound... Yeah. Not reticent, but nervous about what's going to happen. You know what I mean? It's an unknown that's making you kind of scared.
Yeah, you do know me very well. And you're right. You're right. It's been so long that I really am. I am nervous. You have to,
that's almost become its other thing that it's been 14 years. So now it's like a fear.
You have to put that aside a little bit. Right. What I always tell people is just go out and enjoy dating.
Have
just
coffee.
Do the dating part. Just enjoy hanging with people, meeting people. Don't worry about whatever comes after that.
Yeah, do a coffee. I do that. I just enjoy it. I'm like, I'm going to meet someone for an hour. We have a connection. Great. If not, it's fine. You move on. It's not a huge commitment. And I think that's a great point, Drew, without the goal. That I have to find my next, you know, husband or Mr. Right. Just
or that I'm going to slip into some relationship. You know, it's going to overwhelm
an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, or whatever. Anything. Just forget all that.
Trust that you know yourself better now, and you're a different place.
Also, I will say this, and I mean this sincerely. This isn't like locker room talk or a joke. You started off by saying I feel like all these guys are going to want sex. Definitely. But that doesn't mean that's the only thing. Some guys, they're very one dimensional. They just want to have that one night stand, maybe second date stand, whatever. But just know that all straight men that are going to be potentially dating you definitely want to have sex with you. But that doesn't mean that's the only thing they want.
It doesn't mean they can't also.
It doesn't mean they can't also be respectful, like you, want to court you, want to wait the time that you're willing to put out. I mean, look, I banged everything within my vicinity. For 3 years straight, my wife, who I decided to marry, it took forever to have sex with her because I just, you know, the second I met her, did I want to bang her? Yes, it never went away, but I was willing to engage in other things.
He was also scared.
Good to know her.
Yeah,
you have a choice. You're in control. When people say these dating apps are all about sex, it's like you have a choice. Like they're not gonna they don't force you into sex. Not like Harvey Weinstein's on the dating. But really, you do. And I feel like I've gone out on these dates and I've never had anyone just make this assumption that I have a sex talk show that that I'm gonna have sex with them that day.
I bet you there are guys though. They're I'm gonna date the sex with Emily chick, dude.
Exactly.
I'm gonna wreck her.
That's a whole nother thing, right?
The other issue is
another reason why I wait.
That I've gone out, you know, and they want to talk about the career, and I'm not sure if they really like me for me, or if I'm just like a novelty date that they get to go home and go, hey, guess who I just went out on a date with?
Right. But you never know. You just take your time.
Yeah, that's all stuff you have to kind of navigate.
There's always those people.
And Emily, I did that. I have to be honest. Last year, I did all the dating apps. And, you know, it takes, as you know, as a woman, it takes a little bit longer for us to get ready for a date than a guy, you know, just throwing a pair of jeans. And, you know, I've talked about it before. I have this Jufro, this really curly hair. So I have to go and get my hair blown out.
Like Drew's pubes.
Outfit and get ready, and then I go out and I meet a guy, and I can tell within the first 5 minutes that he is just into who I am and not.
Yeah.
Don't do dinner. Do like three lunches and do a lunch and two coffees on a Sunday, and then knock it out and blow dry your hair.
And by
once.
The way, don't be a guy being into who you are. Own that a little bit because that's who you are.
I agree, but I think what Tawny's getting at is that there's a novelty factor. Probably a lot of 45-year-old guys are like, I'm going to date the Whitesnake video chick. You won't believe it, bro. And that's another reason why I think Rhea will probably be great for her because that's going to be exclusive of the guys who don't find it the novelty. You know, they'll just be like, they're in there for beautiful, nice women.
And also, like, friends of friends, like I said, let people know.
You know what, Mike? You have.
Damn it. I feel like she was going to say something good to me.
But Tanya, whatever you're saying, we missed it. Try one more time. No. Your face,
hello.
You're breaking down there. But
her Wi-Fi's not good today.
I think we should move on anyway.
Yeah, Tani, we will all say goodbye to you.
Bye.
Via the, I hope you're seeing some of us. We can't hear you, but we say thank you for joining. We couldn't hear that either, but to call
you
Susan.
Got this.
Thank you as always.
She brought up something in our conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tani.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Bye.
I think she brought up something in her conversation that is important to get out there to women of all age that, you know, I hear so much that he just wants sex. He just wants sex. Yeah.
That's where men start from.
True.
That's where they start.
Very true. That doesn't mean he's also not a good man that can be that Mr. Right.
Yeah, notice me as a criminal. Right. Well, they rely on you to help them with that control
exactly.
A little bit. Yeah, but they do. They respond. They're responsive.
Yeah,
they're respectful.
Right, but hopefully at this point they're evolved.
Wait. No, let her finish.
Okay.
No, they're evolved at a certain stage. Men in their 40s, they've done the work on themselves. They're, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully you can spot that. You know the guys. That, yes, they're going to want sex, but you can tell who's like someone you can connect with.
I'm surprised. And this is, again, coming from me. And I have no problem admitting I love the vag.
We got that.
Ladies.
We got that.
Well, it's bears because I'm sure there's a lot of women who even have casually come across like Loveline or listen to Drew and I on the air, and they think, "What is that bro? What business does he have talking about like dating and success and treating women properly?" I am blown away by how little ability a lot of men have at compartmentalizing their primal instincts from how they behave in an everyday capacity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just because, yes, I am horny and I find a lot of women attractive, I'm also a grown man.
And you treat them with respect.
And I go,
the catcalling I put in that category, I'm stunned every time guys stuff comes out of their mouth. I'm like,
when does that ever work?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, who's like, oh, that's construction guy. Just, yeah,
I don't know. That's what Mike's kind of talking about, though, is they can't, like...
Here's the analogy I look at. I want to eat donuts all day, every day. Who doesn't? I don't, because I'm a grown-ass man, and I go, well, that's probably not good for me. It's going to make me crash. It's going to make me fat. I want to bang every attractive woman I see, but then I go, I'm a married grown man, and she doesn't deserve to have me gawking at her. And I'm really blown away at how few how often I see guys that seemingly are normal, civilized guys –
behave horribly.
And they open up on Tinder with like, do you do anal? I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. How
is
old
wrong
are they?
With
I mean,
you?
Yeah, you just weed those guys out. I mean, there's always going to be those guys.
Producer,
but you can tell.
A producer wants in.
So we have a guy who's been on hold for 40 minutes. We should probably
Steve. Go. Wait, Steve, you there? Ah. Hey there.
Hey. Hey guys.
Hi,
hey,
Steve.
Hi.
Steve from Atlanta.
Steve Bannon.
How you doing?
On the phone.
We're good. What's going on there?
Oh, not much. I'm here with my girlfriend.
What she look like?
Love your show, you know.
What's she wearing? What's your girlfriend wearing?
By the way, we were just talking about how lucky she is to have friends like you guys, you know? I mean, Lord, she's getting the best advice you can get, so.
Yeah. Tawny's very lucky. I'm lucky to know Emily. I will say that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve. It's so nice to be back in Emily's presence. I used to get it weekly, sometimes bi-weekly. And it's just, I am very lucky and fortunate to not only be on the air with Emily, you know, periodically, but it's just nice to have a really like someone who owns herself so well, someone who has such great self-awareness that's also giving out dating advice, because so many times it's these bronzes that are out there that are kooky and they're very myopic in the way that they look at things. And I go, what business do you have telling people what to do?
Emily, on the other hand, goes through men like tissue paper.
Yeah,
I'm slowed down. Yeah, I'm more selective.
You know the butcher when you get that number where it's like, can I get number 30? Emily has it on her badge. It's actually above her pubic line.
You'd think with sex with Emily I would, but no.
Okay, Steve, what's up?
Hi, Steve.
Sure, well, I'm with my girlfriend here. We love your show. This is her first time watching it on Facebook Live. And we're actually back together. She is my ex-wife. I'm her ex-husband.
Nice.
We were married for 3 years. Yeah, we're back together now. So We just kind of wanted to see if you had any advice for, you know, ex-spouses who are getting back together. It's pretty special, but we want to do it the right way this time. You know?
A couple things.
Normally,
you know, we look at relationships like people, young adult in their teen years, and go, well, if you want to know how your relationship's going to end, look at how the last one ended. And if you guys broke up, it's probably a reason you broke up. I don't think that applies to people that have been
grown
married.
People,
yeah, because I've seen this work out rather well. And now the stuff I see, this sort of the rupture often occurs because of substances or something mm-hmm. else, and so there's sort of something that can be corrected. What broke you guys up?
That was my next question. What broke you guys up?
Well, it was a combination of a couple of things. We got married very early, very quickly we eloped, and we didn't really know each other at all. She got pregnant very quickly, and I think it was just too much strain for us. We weren't adult enough, you know, yeah. So I think we grew up. And while the time we were divorced, we went through some tough stuff together, some difficult times, and we stayed friends, and we actually ended up laughing and enjoying each other's company, I think, more, am right. I saying this right now?
No, more than we did. In terms
when we first knew each other, so we got to know each other. We grew up a little bit.
In terms of me saying there are things that can be corrected, maturing is one of those things,
exactly.
Right? And the fact that you have found sort of renegotiated the relationship, that all sounds good. Yeah. Do you think they should get premarital counseling?
I just think that if you guys haven't done the work from whatever, how long were you broken up for?
Three years.
Okay, and have you kind of talked through a lot of that stuff? I mean, I think it couldn't hurt if you guys have already gone through divorce, because right now there is that sort of euphoric recall when you get back together with someone and you're remembering why you fell in love with her and things are so great for the two of you now and all those amazing things, but the stuff that kind of messed you up before is still there. And so I think, you know, every couple needs counseling.
Right.
If you guys didn't have it before, it'd be a great time. Start fresh.
Look, even if a couple's doing well, I think counseling
can
be beneficial.
That's actually the best time to go when things are good, not horrible, and you go when you're not in crisis.
But what I'll say to you, like, just bro advice, just straight boneheaded, straight guy advice, don't fall into the trap that a lot of guys fall into, that when you get back together with someone that you broke up with, where you start going, well, who did you sleep with in the interim?
Oh, yeah,
you're just going to be torturing each other.
What your wife did when you guys aren't together is 100% her business
Private citizen, not yours.
And you can't – because, listen, it's in your DNA. You're a guy. I understand it. You're a caveman just like I am. You want to go and gather up some blunt object and go murder every guy that put his penis somewhere near her. But that's not the way – it's not fair to her. You're going to hold – you know, accidentally, maybe subconsciously hold it against her. And it's just like, look, if you guys want to have that conversation just mutually, that's your business. But I'm saying don't be that guy that goes, wait, what? You dated how many guys? Like, you guys broke up, and that's her business.
Yeah.
So don't
focus on your sexual future, not your sexual past. So I think it's also great to talk about if your mind is going to that place of what happened before, think about what can we do to really have great connected sex right now in this new phase.
Okay. Good advice.
Good luck
really
to you, man.
All right,
see you
guys.
Good luck. Okay, buddy. Take care. This does bring up a really interesting point about, because this whole Weinstein thing brought up some issues about men and women that I thought were kind of subtle. Like, you know, Lauren Savant, who we talked to in great detail about what happened to her, she said every man she spoke to went, why did you hit him? Why did you run? Why did you, you know, plow through him? And that's men's first move. And for women, oftentimes, freeze is the first move.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he's 300 pounds. She's 105
pounds. By the way, that's not men's first move. That's what guys assume their first move is.
Yeah,
those
guys
have clearly not been put through some type of trauma, because I will tell you, I will whoop Harvey Weinstein's ass with one hand tied behind my back.
Listen.
But if he jerked off in front of me in a random in a hallway at a restaurant, I would be frozen.
Okay, but
I'd be going, is this reality?
Yes.
Right. What's happening?
So that freeze is you trying to assess what you can't figure out what's going on. And then women do this other thing. So the probability of her not feeling like she could be powerful in that situation, she already feels physically overwhelmed. She has the issue of what the hell's going on.
Right.
And then women do an immediate, what did I do to get here? How did I do this? How did I get myself in
this
business?
Is this my fault? Did I lead him on?
And men never do that.
No, we do that all the time with everything.
Yes.
What's my part in it?
Yes.
Is it my fault? Men are like, I didn't even know there was a problem.
Yes.
So women do that automatically. So it would make
and
sense.
In a situation like
that. Right.
I think that's important. I all think it's important to think about what you were just saying about men and other penises near a woman that they're in love with. That's a very strange thing that we have.
And women cannot understand it.
They cannot understand it. And we have it. I want you to understand it. It's a murderous rage. Right? Am I about right?
Yeah.
And I mean, people's lives are easily endangered.
It's
by
like
that
a set. Sweet blend of 90% murder, 10% suicide.
Yeah.
It's like a
hearing
beautiful
about the
blend.
Sexual past, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's not the sexual past so much as
just any other penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it felt like it was you when shouldn't it, when, have been.
Okay. Yeah. It's
don't
one.
Don't have those conversations.
You can't. The analogy I would use is be like. It's like having an ally in World War One that you're now fighting against in World War Two. Like you can't seem to get that out of your head. You're like, well, how do you really feel about Russia? You know, because I remember, you know, it's only 20 years ago. And so there's that. But it's not necessarily the sexual past or penis. It's any penis that you feel might be somehow infringing on your territory.
But that's the thing.
Because every guy looks at every woman as like they're Napoleon.
Past penises, current penises that kind of are circling around your partner.
It's a weird territory. It's a weird, and there's nothing, we cannot respond to it, but we can't make it go away.
Right.
Yeah, well, and also
it's very unpleasant. It's very
primal too, right?
Very primitive, very stupid.
You've marked this person that you're with and someone else is trying to be.
It's not about marking. It's not about that. It's a weird.
It's a threat. It's a territorial threat.
Let me think about it this way, from an evolutionary
I was going to say,
you and I think have had this conversation, but here's the evolutionary heritage, which is back, you know, throughout the evolution of primate history, we couldn't determine paternity. Here we were going to invest all of our resources into whatever comes out of this woman. Right. It better be our genes. And the only way we can know that's our genes is to make sure no other genes were dropped off.
Right. Yeah.
And so men develop this very intense preoccupation with that, not in a psychological way, in a biological way.
Exactly.
It's in our genes.
Right. No, I understand that. Mechanism. It's
also,
true. Right.
There's
and
a reason
and
why.
It has no place in modern society, really. I mean, it really doesn't belong here, but it is here. And a lot of horrible things happen around
it. It's also like why they say, hey, women and children off the boat first when it's sinking. It's not just because women aren't tough or they can't handle themselves. It's because Drew and I are disposable. I shoot out 9 million little loads, sperm in one load or whatever.
It only takes one of us to replace 100 of us.
And you are very precious. You have very few eggs, and they can only be used 9 months at a time, because once you get impregnated, you're kind of done. Drew and I can just keep on – well, not Drew because he has no loads anymore. But normal men –
they can just retrieve them.
Yeah, I could get you pregnant right now and get Susan pregnant 5 minutes later, and that's just reality. And so we're just disposable, weird primates, and women really are this kind of very complex, very evolved beast. I just thought, honestly, this isn't pandering, I just think that guys are way less removed from our primal origins. Women have evolved a little bit more than
we have. We've got the fight or flight. We've got a lot of the same.
Oh, sure. Oh, well, listen, we're all the same species.
Right.
What I meant by that is like men are just – we're a little bit closer to our primal core than women. Well, I honestly think women have developed evolutionary-wise. They've just developed a little bit more intellectually than we have.
They're more – well, they're certainly attached to more parts of their brain. And they're more socially composed, so they can assess and utilize. While we are strictly aggressive,
I gave you my three prong argument as to why women, men are just way more simple and closer to our roots. Yeah. Let me present to you Exhibit A: nuns and priests.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You tell a woman, well, you're going to have to give up all sexual pleasure for the Lord. She goes, I better help some starving children. You tell a man, you're going to have to give up all sexual pleasure for the Lord. He goes, I better fuck some children. It just, that's the, you know, that's life. Here's duck penis. I present to you duck penis. Do you know what duck penises are like? They're super long, like 13, 14 inches long, and they're corkscrew, and they can move like and manipulate in all different directions. You know why? Because men ducks were raping women ducks so much that women ducks got together and they're like, listen, we got to do something about this, okay? Because we're getting duck raped so much. And they said, I know. We'll devote the next 10,000 years to evolving to have labyrinth-like maze pussy that will stop them as soon as they try to duck rape us. It'll block them and then they'll give up. So, sure enough, they developed this labyrinth-like maze for a vagina. What do men ducks do? You'd think they go, wow, let's take a good hard look in the mirror because we've been raping so much that they changed their vagina. No, they go, oh, all right, touche, bitch. We're going to devote the next 10,000 years to making a corkscrew penis that can get through your maze, and the raping commenced.
But they don't have the rational thought, the ducks. They're just still the primary. Yeah,
listen, and to be fair,
they're not men and women.
Right, exactly. But thank you. I understand that.
Here's the other thing.
And women are
how
still
many times? How many times some broad call up Loveline? How many times? 28 years old, 34 years old, 21 years old. Dr. Drew, I've actually never had an orgasm, and I'm wondering.
Oh,
what's
we have
wrong
we have
day.
That on
okay.
the air.
Okay.
I was going to say that. Like, should 60... I save that for the next hour, or can we do that?
And
now?
How many times, Dr. Drew, did that happen with a boy?
Never.
Zero. Well, zero
did.
Times.
It happened like twice, and both times I sent them into like practical
the emergency
hospital.
Room.
That's right.
Your call.
I can take that call. Okay.
You decide. You talk to her and tell her what you're.
It's a can't have an orgasm in a young adult.
Yeah,
it's a common thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, take her.
This is Joseph. Let me get him up here, Joseph.
Hi.
And strangely, she's 22, and I believe that was the age you specifically called out.
Thank you.
So, here we go. All right, Joseph, what's up?
21.
Ah.
Shut up, Joseph. The duck analogy was pretty extreme, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
That. It was you live. Very informative.
Duck cock is.
You guys live.
Corkscrew penises all night. Yeah.
I'm 23. I've been with my girlfriend for a little over a year. She's never orgasmed, I don't think, ever in her life.
Does she masturbate?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the first.
When I go down on her, what's that?
Yeah, that's the first thing she has to do is figure it out on her own. She has to masturbate.
Right.
She has
right.
to.
I think so.
I feel bad for you because you're probably you sound like a nice guy. You probably want to please her.
It's
she
more common than not.
Yeah. You're not going to discover that treasure for her. She needs to go on her own National Treasure Nick Cage search throughout her own clitoris.
Well, now, but Emily is, you know, this is your thing. Emily's an expert in this. There's no conversation like this ever had with a young male, ever. Speaking of men and women difference again.
Yeah.
Ever.
They just call up and ask about their girlfriends, or they come too quickly, or not, you know.
There's no male that needs to be instructed on masturbation.
No, exactly.
No, we just hit our penis until it sprays.
It never even occurred to me to masturbate until I was like, what's the big deal about sex? And my friends were like, oh, when I was like 20, they're like, you don't masturbate. It didn't occur to me to touch myself.
Some of it is biology, too. The biological sort of come online. And to some extent, I notice some women need to feel closeness in order to have those kinds of impulses, like they either sense with themselves that kind of whatever that feeling is, and or in a relationship.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Is she interested in having an orgasm as well? Have you guys talked about this, or you're just sort of you're helping, you're driving this mission?
Yes, although I'm not sure how much of it is that she wants to, or she just wants me to. I think she feels bad for.
Yeah, that's
me,
what
that,
it
you know,
sounds
I'll go
like.
Down on her for 20 minutes and.
Yeah, and she feels worse.
I think that's
how women
are.
Yeah, well, that's she. We have to kind of get her. We have to be able to talk to her in a way that she realizes that it's not just for you. It's actually for her own pleasure. And the more she understands her body, what makes her feel good, what kind of touches she needs, then she'll be able to show you. You guys could even try some mutual masturbation.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan.
She's pretty good at that.
Great. So you guys could together. If she's like, you know, but on my own, I go in my room. I'm not going to do it. She needs to be accountable. Then you could both together masturbate.
Then Emily has all kinds of technologies.
Oh, my God. I've got toys. Go to sexwithemily.com. We've got a ton of fun toys that she could that you could play with. Lube is really important. Always adding lube to the mix, like a few drops on her clitoris. That can help. So, I mean, for women, it's like their anatomy. She could be shutting herself down. Some women's G-spot is in a different location. It's easier during intercourse. Some women, they just have to find it. You know, you got to go looking for it in different ways.
How much of it can be psychological or emotional? Like women, sometimes they're just – They're pent
it's
up, right?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of psychological, and there's some people who are just like the way their clitoris is more on the outside and doesn't, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different reasons why some women just orgasm every time and why some don't, but it doesn't mean that she can't and she won't.
Big props to you for calling and being so motivated to really get to the bottom of it in a civilized way. You know, you didn't just get bitter and angry and want to Hulk smash it.
I,
you know?
I do think
I mean,
go ahead.
I listen to you guys. I listen to you guys a lot, and you three back together is really, really cool.
It's great. We're gonna
have
sex.
Think, like it's. I think it is more psychological with her.
Yeah.
She's a history of
stuff
trauma.
She hasn't dealt with.
We've all been off the air what a year and a half, something like that now.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, the guys like Joseph have come to young adulthood, and I'm telling you, they are more. Humane, more civilized.
Yeah,
humane.
No,
more aware.
I don't know if it's aware, but they're just more. cautious, careful, navigate, negotiate. They're not just, like you said, would you call him a caveman or something?
Yeah, well,
more of that.
I mean, I was one butt hair of DNA removed from a bonobo monkey when I was 19.
Oh, bonobos are – no, you were more on the chimp side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it was, maybe you evolved – maybe they both evolved from you. Maybe you were the common ancestor.
That well, my ass everything. Is red and inflamed.
But yeah, I just think be patient. And I think if you're putting pressure on her too, it's going to make it even harder because if it is emotional and she's got anxiety around it.
I think you gave him good coaching. I think he's good. I think technology would be a great adjunct.
And here's another thing I'll add to you. And everything Emily said, man, take to heart. It's really good advice. She knows women. She is one. I don't know if you know.
Whoa.
That.
No way.
But here's the thing. Be open to your, like, say it to her face. Say, honey, I can imagine how hard this is for you. I just want you to know, like, I'm here for you and I'm whatever I can do to stay out of your way and to help in the process. You just let me know. I don't want you to feel even further inhibited by me.
See how evolved Mike has become in the last couple of years?
That's in the last couple of minutes.
Can you believe it's him? But I want to dial back to the opening topic, which was the Weinstein thing again. And there was something I was meaning to say I didn't have a chance to say, which was you were talking about the guys that behave this way and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what – and Mike knows this because we've been talking about this on our KBC program. There's another layer to this that I find very troubling, and that's why I got all upset about the athletes and the politicians mm-hmm. and the other people that need to be called on the carpet, because many of these people are telling other people how to live. They're hubristic. Yeah, yeah. The hubris of politicians particularly. I mean, no one in Hollywood said, hey, this is how you live. They went, they're like,
most everyone in Hollywood's like, yeah, Harvey's an asshole.
But they also were like, they're like making movies that are not how to live. And, right. You know, they say, well, we're going to correct our own house. Yeah. Of course, they've been giving lip service that. Right. They obviously have not. Now they need to. But politicians specifically, the hubris amongst politicians is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they compartmentalize it. Like, they could doing this kind of
sorry.
Thing. You think they know? You think that they're, like, feeling bad about it?
Harvey compartmentalized a little bit, too. They all compartmentalize
when
they
behave. Well, I think
they all do. Yeah, but it's especially egregious when it's somebody in that kind of a position and they're not being called on the carpet.
But don't you think
– really bothers me.
But don't you think, Drew, it also comes from a weird insecurity in that – in the same regard that – I feel like a philandering scumbag is more prone to tell everyone how to live and treat women in the same way that it's never just some Republican senator. It's not just some random guy who's like, hey, man, let's just, you know, lower taxes, you know, free, you know, stronger state government. It's always the Republican senator who's like anti-gay defamation
right.
League of
that,
America.
So that's
homo league.
No, but listen, that's –
it's that guy who's
it's
in the, it's
everyone,
it's with the
it's
wide stance.
It's actually all of them. It's
all
the Democrats,
now
too,
all
and
them.
The Republicans.
But my
I'm
point
telling
is,
you. I used to work with Democrats.
But hang on. Now, it is when it came to gay and lesbian rights, you're absolutely
that's
correct.
That's true.
That's true. And that guy from Idaho that was hanky panky.
Larry something.
Yeah.
Larry Craig,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
is
yeah.
A beautiful example.
Right, yeah.
He's my favorite. Wide stance. My favorite.
We have a bigger issue now, which is how women are treated. And there's been so much lip service given to that by the Democratic Party. And yet most of the outliers that I know of that have been behaving in ways that are completely unacceptable are Democrats.
Right.
And somebody needs to call them out. It needs to – just the way Harvey Weinstein, I'm calling
maybe
on all
women. Maybe this is happening now. Maybe this
Well, there's a strange thing that has happened where I think – and listen, this is not a partisan remark. I say it as just someone who's like looking back at it as an observer. I feel like we've done a very good job since like the end of the Reagan era of as American society calling – the right, especially the religious right, on their bullshit, okay, of the overly conservative view of homosexuality, of abortion, whatever it may be, we have done a good job of trying to regulate that through our own society. For some reason, Democrats, not even just to the left, just Democrats have gotten some weird pass when it comes to being philandering scumbags. And I Clinton slash Kennedy slash Gavin Newsom, like you can, I can just go down the line.
Kennedy and Clinton are the absolute like two
poster boys.
Two Kennedys, maybe three. I don't know, but certainly two of the Kennedys and a Clinton. That behavior,
I killed a bitch.
You got to look at that behavior and go, how is that okay with women? How is that stuff okay in any way? The stuff that John F. Kennedy said to women.
Oh,
I mean, you want to take Academy Awards away from actors and actresses or producers for some of the things they've done.
No, I know.
I'm not advocating.
Secret entrance for Poontang in the White House.
Remember that woman in the pool that he just said, go over there and give him a blowjob? It's like,
it's Right, right. And that wouldn't happen. I mean, I guess right now you wouldn't find it. Right. And I also think that women working in politics, too, they think, oh, but he's my senator. He's my, you know, I can't speak out against it. And why do they're doing it? Because I think there's a certain delusion that it's happened long enough. They don't really
live their life. Than the Hollywood thing.
But
exactly.
It is no
same
different.
Deal.
But they live their life in a different on a different plane, you know.
Well, then they need to join the rest of us because they are the representatives of the culture and the standards, the moral standards of our society.
See, I'm starting to increasingly feel like that's not true. I think that to say that they are the representatives of culture. No, I think that politicians on the state and federal level, they actually live on a different planet than us. And they decided they took that one-way ticket into organized government, and then they just washed their hands with regular society. And every one of our celebrity friends, Drew, on Loveline over the years, whether it was Kid Rock all the way up to Tom Morello, whether you were extreme liberal, extreme conservative, every one of them who gave up show business to get into politics, every one of them said the same thing. They came back and they're like, the system's way dirtier than I thought. There's no hope. If you want to make a difference, you trust me, it's not through.
How about we get good people in there?
But I'm saying, I do get
the good people in, and they're not. They get in there like, oh, this is how it works, and you think you're electing someone outside the Beltway, and that you know they get in. And
I
would just like them to treat women the way they're supposed to treat women. They are busily prosecuting the workplace. Theirs is a workplace as well.
Yeah.
And I just want them held to the same standard. Well,
Maybe people will be coming together, women's groups in Washington now, right? I mean, I used to.
The fact that they are not and that they're pointing fingers over here is too much for me. I can't stand it. That is really troubling. And hubris is a dangerous, dangerous emotion.
Yeah.
It's a relative of envy. The two emotions that bother me the most about the human being are the most problematic or that create the most horror. Hubris and envy. Those are terrible, terrible emotions, and people do bad things to each other as a result of it. Let's see. You can check out Michael at Michael Catherwood.
At Mike Catherwood.
Oh, she put Michael Catherwood. Well, at Mike Catherwood, also at KBC 790 Radio. We are there noon to 3 weekdays. Download the podcast Sex with Emily. Hear more sex tips today. And we'll see you next time. Well, one of the great parts about working in recovery is seeing former patients successfully move on. And I've had patients that have come up to me years later and shake my hand and say, you know what, sometimes people are kicked out of treatment. And many of these folks move on to become mental health professionals themselves. And, of course, the field of psychology is vast. The need for competent practitioners is huge. If you're considering this rewarding career, I urge you to consider the California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant University. Now, I've known them for a long time at Alliant University. I've spoken at their past events. It was founded in 1969. It's boasted an alumni network of nearly 50,000 people worldwide. And Alliant has fostered many of today's mental health pioneers, authors, and advocates. CSPP at Alliant University hosts both on-ground and online programs in business psychology, marriage and family therapy, clinical counseling. They also offer APA-accredited doctoral programs in clinical psychology that can allow for specialization in child psychology, clinical forensic psychology, and integrated psychology. And the faculty is crazy. It's made up of leaders and historical figures like Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, Viktor Frankl, some of the true fathers of modern psychology. For more information, and I worked alongside of these students as well, by the way, in the clinical setting as well as having lectured at the institution. So for more on the California School of Professional Psychology, CSPP, at Alliant, click the Alliant banner on our website or visit Alliant, Alliant.edu, Alliant.edu.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.